spirit and life. You have the words of eternal life.
Alleluia.
The Lord be with you and with your spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. When Jesus saw a crowd around him, he gave orders to cross to the other shore. A scribe approached and said to him, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus answered him, "Foxes have dens, and birds of the sky have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to rest his head." Another of his disciples said to him, "Lord, let me go first and bury my father." But Jesus answered him, "Follow me, and let the dead bury their dead." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. If we look at the context in which we are listening to this very brief part of the Matthew's Gospel, and this one is a unique place in Medjugorje. For some of you, it's the first time that you are here in this place. And the other context is Matthew's community, Jewish Christian community, in which Matthew wrote his gospel, and in which certainly there was tension that is reflected in this text. The context itself is Matthew's gospel. Matthew had finished the long Sermon on the Mountain, describing what Jesus has done. That chapter describes how Jesus healed and freed. And Matthew said, those were the three most important things that Jesus did. He preached, he proclaimed the gospel, God's nearness, he healed, he freed. And in that context, in the midst of the story of how he healed the sick, he spoke about the two calls in this text we just heard.
Zgorega vidjeti da nam to dolazi na početku duhovnih vježbi.
It is not by chance that this comes to us at the beginning of our priestly spiritual renewal exercises. These brief reports about two vocations. This, as if the church, or through the church, the Lord Himself desires to nurture us and illuminate us in that what is important for us, for our life. In that what we will meet through the following few days. Jesus saw the multitude, and He wants to cross to the other side of the Sea of Gennesaret. He commands them to go across. First of all, a scribe comes to him, and then one of his disciples. There are two people now outside of the multitude, more clearly than the multitude, more personally to follow him. The first thing we see, here we have two calls that are set out. They're not like the call to Moses or Matthew, where God directly, by name, calls and says, "Come follow me." The scribe on his own comes to Jesus and says, "I will follow you wherever you go." We know that also that is a call, because he was listening to what Jesus was saying, He saw how he healed and cured the sick and the imprisoned, and in him the desire awakened to follow him more seriously, to draw closer to him. And we know that he's not completely near in the way that he teaches, calls him. He calls him Master. None of Jesus' disciples call him Master. They call him differently. They call him Lord, Kyrie, the way we call him in the liturgy. He's a little bit distanced. He's like the scribe, like the Pharisees, considering him a teacher. But in himself he feels that he has grown enough to be able to take the next step, that he wants to step into the boat between the multitude that listened to Jesus. And Jesus is commanding others to come to the other side. He's saying, I want to follow you. And Jesus gives him the answer that is important to us. He says, foxes have lairs, and the birds of the air have nests. What are you looking for? Security that the foxes and the birds have? Or are you seeking to go after me? Who sets out and decides to place foot in his boat, he must be completely aware that he will not have security. He will not have the protection of a nest, but will be exposed as the Lord is exposed. The Son of Man that has nowhere to rest his head, and nonetheless goes, proclaims, heals, frees, that everybody else may have where to put their tired head. You see that the scribe is very important here, because he dedicated his life to the letter, to scripture. But at a given moment, in the nearness of Jesus, he sees that there's more than scripture there. I see in him how the scripture becomes alive, and him I see how the words of the scripture work, and he wants to go further than the scripture. Desires for all of his knowledge, not to remain bound to the book, to the knowing of the scripture, but to enter into life. He desires to take that step, and Jesus calls him to make that determined step, aware fully. And we know that in our own life, sometimes knowing the scripture is a good, secured life, but to walk after him, it seems, only goes where I am prepared to go, to be exposed to the measure that he's exposed. And the second call is not a direct call of Jesus by name, come follow me. The disciple comes and says, Lord, permit me first to come to bury my father. He's a written disciple. He also wants to enter the boat, but to put it off. He has an obligation that he feels inside to bury the father who died. We can see that this is a matter of Matthew's tensions in his own community. When somebody decided to follow Christ, so this happens today, not just in the first church, he doesn't always have support of the family. To the contrary, it happens that the family becomes a place of rejection. And what to do in the conflict of conscience, to keep peace in the family, to keep my good relationship with all the members, or am I to follow Jesus? And Jesus says, come, follow me, let the dead bury the dead. This word is directly addressed to us, the priests, at the beginning of the exercises. We have to ask ourselves, are we between putting our foot again into his boat, or am I bound to that which is closer to death than life. What is it, if anything, that makes me put off the following of Christ? That I consider the time has not yet come, I'll do something later. What about the relationships? About close, important relationships? Are they preventing me from going to follow him? And the talk of the church that desires to protect from every attack against family, we see that it's a matter of those who follow Jesus. About the family, there's something more important. The family is not in the first place, but following Christ is in the first place. Even when there's a conflict in the family, I may know where my decision is. So these two descriptions that are very brief can help us to begin our spiritual exercises. They can help that we may be illuminated by Christ's nearness in his word. We may see in truth where we are. Where is my foot? Closer to the boat or to the multitude? Have I bound myself to the scripture? Have I maybe set out with him and then have taken nest somewhere on the way, protected myself, and I feel like I am in the lair or in the nest? So I'm not ready to set out where his boat is going. In my life, are there dead things, dead relationships? But at this moment are more important to me than my relationship with him, because this is also my own vocation to leap what is dead and set out after him who is life. Here we are, dear brother priests, at the beginning, where Jesus clearly speaks to us that he desires for us to enter into his body because he desires to lead us.
Je odnos sa svakim od nas vrlo osoban, vrlo pojedinačan.
Where the relationship with each one of us is very personal and individual. We see that on the hill he spoke to the multitude. Matthew sees this as it is the word of a new Moses, where the multitude listens to him, but then he meets individual people who have been broken by life to return him back into life. And then he meets the individuals who are ready to go after him. He speaks very simple about them. Imagine he calls Jesus to call him master, and he wants to have Jesus enter into a relationship with him as a disciple, to teach him the Torah, to give him a light in the scripture. But above the Torah, the Lord speaks about himself. He speaks about the personal relationship that we are to have with him, and we are called to have the personal relationship and to step one more step into his boat. Amen.